Did you experience damage to your home or business from Hurricane Irma? Don't wait. The deadline to file an insurance claim is September 10th, 2020. Call the pros at East Coast Public Adjusters, 855-GET-ECPA. That's 855-GET-ECPA.
Ray Fittipaldo is always kind enough to join us on the show. We're going to talk a little Pittsburgh Steelers. He works for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, covering the Steelers on an everyday basis. You can follow him on Twitter at Ray Fit, two T's, one. Follow him there, and you will be in touch with your Steelers. Ray, good afternoon, my man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Orlando. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, Ray, I laugh because sometimes in life we maybe leave one person for another because we think the pastures are much greener there. We leave one job for another because we think it's going to be a better job, and it doesn't turn out. We move from one city to another because we think we're going to enjoy it more, and we don't. And, you know, now that we're, a year removed from a lot of this stuff going on, I'm seeing the stories in New York of how Le'Veon Bell doesn't really get along with the coach because the coach didn't really want him. Now the stories are that he's fat and he really wasn't – he didn't look as explosive and all that crap. We see Antonio Brown has – he's changed multiple teams. He's out of the league now, facing all kinds of legal issues. I wonder when those two guys lie in bed at night, I wonder if they both lean back and say, you know, I really screwed up. I should have just kept my mouth shut, maybe worked with the team, worked out a deal, and I would have been so much more happy, and I would have been productive. What do you think about that right now with those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how it works out, doesn't it? I mean, looking back right now, Kevin Colbert should have been the GM of the year for getting a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick in return for Antonio Brown, who never played a down with the Raiders. So, and if you're into AB's social media account, he came out with an apology to Ben Roethlisberger within the last week or so, basically saying what you just said, you know, I didn't know how good I had it. So, yeah, I mean, it's funny looking back. I mean, it certainly didn't help the Steelers that those two guys left. But, yeah, you know, looking back on it, you know, maybe if they had to do things over again, maybe they would have re-upped with the Steelers, or in AB's case, you know, just played out the remaining years of his contract because things have not gone well for Bell or AB since leaving Pittsburgh.
Well, Ray, this week, a couple of firsts for us, dude. One, we saw Mike Trout get in the middle of a controversy, and then we saw Mike Tomlin get in the middle of a controversy. Two guys that they're excuse me, they're all about business, you know, 99% of the time. How shocked were you that Mike Tomlin took the stance he took for his quarterback?
No, I mean, I wasn't shocked.
On the public side of it. I mean, on the public side of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really, if you listen to Mike talk on Monday on Outside the Line, he basically said, you know, the Steelers probably could have said this in November, and they would have felt comfortable saying this in November. They just didn't want this to be a distraction during the middle of what was a playoff run then. So, I mean, it was very effective what he did. You know, as everyone knows, Mike Tomlin is one of the few black head coaches in the NFL. He really has a good feel of what the type of person Mason Rudolph is. And when this accusation came back a second time, and it was all over social media and it was all over national TV over the weekend, they finally felt like they had to say something. And if you listen closely to what he said, and it's very noteworthy that Myles Garrett has kept his mouth shut for the last couple of days. He basically said, Myles, keep your mouth shut, or Mason Rudolph and the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to take legal action against you in the future. So I thought it was effective. We'll see if Myles Garrett continues to keep his mouth shut, but if he doesn't, I would not be surprised at all if a lawsuit is already drawn up and then, boom, we'll hear about papers filed immediately after that happens.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I actually on my show a couple months ago, I said he should take legal action. He should have. Right. I think Myles Garrett is as weak as it comes, because if it was said, somebody would have backed it up. There's audio being recorded left and right on a football field. It would have been picked up. Clearly, it wasn't said. And I don't, you know, it's sad that you would stick with this story. And, you know, it's funny because I've been talking about this with the baseball players. You know, in our society, you can go two directions. You can ask for forgiveness, like Jason Giambi or Robert Downey Jr. or even Michael Vick, and people will embrace you. But if you want to be combative and you want to fight the lie like Pete Rose and the Astros and countless others, you know, Armstrong and Ryan Braun and all that, we will cast you aside as a society. And I think that, you know, I keep seeing people make the same mistake. When you're in public like this, man, you got to learn this lesson. And Myles Garrett is walking a real fine line at this point. I think what really saves him, Ray, is that we don't have any proof one way or another. And maybe what we need, Ray, is for that entire audio in the end zone at that moment to try to be released so everybody can hear all the audio there, you know, whatever it was, and then we can hear if there was anything racial or not. And that might put an end to it all, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that would be ideal, but the NFL claims, and they've said this multiple times now, that there is no audio that they can release for that game. So, I mean, you're right. We might be in a holding pattern here, and this might not ever be resolved one way or the other. But, you know, the one distasteful thing about this whole thing, the way Garrett has gone about it, and it's kind of in plain sight for everyone to see. It's almost like he's using it as part of his rehab tour or as part of his excuse for doing what he did.
Justifying.
And Mason Rudolph is like collateral damage. And I brought this point up in many other interviews I've done over the last couple of days. Mason Rudolph is only under contract for 2 more years with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He has to continue to work in the NFL, hopefully from his perspective, for long after that. And he has to live the rest of his life working and trying to find a job after that. So his reputation is on the line. That's why I agree with you. Maybe he should have brought this lawsuit up a long time ago, because this goes way beyond the Pittsburgh Steelers and, you know, whatever affiliation they have with him over the next 2 years. This is his reputation at stake, and he's got to do everything he can to protect it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. What's the latest with Ben Roethlisberger, my brother?
Everything seems like it's a go. He's got a doctor's appointment on Friday. If he gets the green light from his doctors there, they're going to allow him to start throwing some lighter objects, like tennis balls and Nerf balls and that sort of thing. And, you know, Ben said in the fall that, you know, the expectation is that he would be ready by OTAs or minicamp. And then in that interview on Monday, Mike Tomlin said he has no hesitation in saying that Ben's going to be ready for the season. So I don't have an exact date to tell you whether he's going to start throwing footballs in May or June or July, but the Steelers right now have no doubt that he will be ready for the 2020 season.
Ray, I don't believe in either backup, dude. I've never been a Mason Rudolph guy. I don't think he's ever going to be a starter in this league. And the Duckmaster does not convince me. And you got a guy coming back from that elbow injury. Pittsburgh's got to draft a quarterback this year, right? I mean, if I'm correct, they do have a second round pick. There's some interesting project guys there in that second round. What do you think Pittsburgh does? Do they take a quarterback in this draft at all?
I don't. And here, let me tell you why. I think your thought process is solid on that, but let me tell you why. If they really, truly do believe that Ben is going to come back at full strength, they have to do everything they can to maximize these final 2 years of his contract.
Gotcha.
And if you watched that team perform last year, they didn't really have a receiver that could separate against man coverage. I mean, I love Juju. I think he's a really good player. But he's not a burner, and I think they need to maybe draft a receiver in the second, third, or fourth round. James Conner has been injury-prone, and he's entering the final year of his contract. So they're in need of a running back, and they have an iffy situation at tight end, and their offensive line is growing older. So they have all kinds of needs on offense, that probably need to be addressed before the quarterback situation, even though, as you say, that it's a very tenuous situation with that elbow. I just think they're going to put all the marbles on the table. They're going to live and ride with Ben for the next 2 years. And for that reason, I think they have to address those other needs in this draft.
Donovan Peoples-Jones, baby. All right. I got you. All right, Ray. Good stuff as always, my brother. Check him out at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at RayFit1. Ray, you're always awesome for taking some time, man. We really appreciate it.
All right, big. Appreciate you having me on.
You got it, baby. Be good. There you go. Ray Fittipaldo.